morning, church. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I have a question for you this morning. Do you have your free admission ticket? We're going to talk about that. But for right now, we're going to go to God in prayer. Most holy and precious Father, we come this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. Thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for waking us up this morning when you did not have to. Thank you for all the things that you have done for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, we ask that you watch over the sick and the afflicted. Build them up where they're torn down. Strengthen them where they're weak. We ask that you watch over all under the sound of my voice. Lord, give them what they need. Provide them with the things that they cannot provide for themselves. We want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for your Son who died and bled on the cross so that we have a chance at the tree of life. We want to thank you for all the things that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, let us together say, amen. As I asked, the question was, do you have your free admission ticket? What is an admission ticket? An admission ticket is a means of access or passage into somewhere. It is usually provided by a ticket agent, one who sells or gives the tickets. It's usually to a destination or a place where you are going. The place that the admission ticket allows you entrance to. We're going to talk about some biblical ticket agents, and then we're going to talk about the ticket itself, the conditions of the ticket. What happens if you misplace or lose your ticket? And finally, where does the ticket allow you admittance to? Let us talk about some biblical ticket agents that the Lord has used. Let us talk about a man called Noah. You remember Noah? He's the man who built the ark. Why did God have Noah build the ark? Well, let us take a look in Genesis 6, 8 through 9. It says the following. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah, and Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. This is why God picked Noah to be his ticket agent. You might say, well, a ticket agent for what? Well, as I told you, Noah was building an ark. Why was Noah building this ark? Noah was building this ark because God was going to destroy man from the face of the earth. Now, you might ask, well, what ticket was he given? Well, let me look at 2 Peter 2 and 5, and it says the following. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So we see here that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was trying to turn that sin-sick world back to the Lord, back to God. But unfortunately, God saw the condition of the earth at that time, and he was, to say it the least, unhappy. So he looked upon the earth, and he told Noah, I'm going to make it rain. And you might say, well, that's not a big deal. But you got to remember, at that time, rain had not fallen upon the earth. A dew or a mist from the earth watered everything. These people did not know what rain was. But Noah was a man of faith. And so he went about and built the ark to God's specifications. And while he was doing this, he was preaching. He was trying to give these people the free admission ticket. In fact, he was trying to give away two tickets. One, to turn the people back to God, and the other, to give a person a seat on the ark. Guess how many tickets he sold or was able to give away, Brother Smith? He only was able to give away eight, and those were to his own family. So what happened? Well, came time for the rain to fall. God told Noah, time to get on the ark. Noah took everything that God had told him, along with his family, and went to the ark. And God shut the door. and the rain started to fall. Now, believe it or not, all those people started running to the ark trying to get that ticket that Noah was trying to give away for free. But guess what? It was too late. God had shut the ark and the earth. All mankind was removed from it. So that was Noah's one of the first ticket agents that God used. Another was a man called Abraham. You remember him. Over in Genesis 18:22-33. Abraham tried to bargain with God to save the original sin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He asked God, well, if you find 50 righteous men in this city, you won't destroy it. He was trying to give away 50 free admission tickets to salvation. What about 40? He went down. Then 30, then 20. Finally said, what if 10? The Lord said, I will not destroy it if you can find 10. But guess what? Guess how many he found? He didn't find 10. So how many did he find? There was one. And that one was his who? His nephew, the man called Lot. That was the one. If you all go over to Genesis 19:15-17, you see them talking about Lot. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise and take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Remember that, because it becomes important later on in my sermon. Neither shalt thou in all the plain escape to the mountain, lest I be consumed. So Lot, because of Abraham and because Lot was a righteous man, was given an admission ticket to get out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He would not be consumed with the city. Now, Lot also became a ticket agent. You probably say, well, didn't Lot just get saved from Sodom and Gomorrah? But how did he become a ticket agent? Well, let us take a look at Genesis 19:12-14 for a moment. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou any here besides? They are asking, does Lot have any besides his two daughters and his wife? Anybody else in the city that he wants to save? Son-in-laws, and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatever so thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So Lot went to his son-in-laws and tried to convince them to come with him. Why? Because the angels of the Lord had already told him, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great unto the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed no matter what Lot did. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws. Now, these were the ones who were supposed to marry his daughters. So he was trying to give them a free admission ticket out of the city, which married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But what did his son-in-laws say? But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. They did not believe him. So the only one that Lot was able to get out of the city was himself, his wife, and two daughters. Now, let us take a look at a man called Moses for a moment. Moses, over there in Exodus 6:26, not only did he come with a free admission ticket for the Hebrew children, he also came with a get-out-of-captivity card for Pharaoh. He told Pharaoh to let my people go. Over in Exodus 6:26, it says the following. These are that Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their army. So Moses was given the task of giving free admission tickets to the Hebrew children to get out of captivity. He was given a get out of captivity card to present to Pharaoh, to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, Pharaoh needed some convincing. But after 13 plagues, he got the message, and he let the people go. So Moses moved his people out of Egypt, out of captivity. Now we come to the ultimate ticket agent, which is what the scripture reading was about. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father except by me. Jesus Christ is the ultimate ticket agent for God. It was his blood that reached back to those who were faithful in the past and reaches forward now to save us. He is the ultimate ticket agent. You cannot get to the Father except through the Son. Now, you're probably asking yourself, but Christ died on the cross, so who is left to give out the tickets? Well, there were the apostles. If you remember, in Matthew 28:18-19, Christ told the apostles the following, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The apostles were turned into ticket agents for the Lord. They were given tickets to salvation. But now you're probably saying to yourself, well, Brother Burnside, the apostles are dead. So who's left? You are. Christians are ticket agents. How do I know this, you're probably asking? Let's look in 1 Corinthians 3:8-9, and it says the following. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are now ticket agents. We are the ones who are supposed to go out and give free admission tickets to salvation. Let's look at Luke 10:2. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We are Christ's laborers. We are Christ's ticket agents. We are supposed to go out into the harvest. Over in Acts 8:4, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, what? Preaching the word. Notice, Paul and those others were persecuting the Christians in Jerusalem. What did they do? They spread out, and as they spread out, what were they doing? Preaching the word of God. That's what they were doing. How do I do this then, brother? If you go over to 2 Timothy 2:15, run over there with me. Because as you know, this always ends up in one of my sermons. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now you're probably asking yourself, why should I do that? Go over to 1 Peter 3:15 with me, if you would. 1 Peter 3:15. And what does it say? It says the following. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How can you possibly answer the question if you don't know the answer yourself? That's why you have to study the short account of yourself. Now, I told you that this free admission ticket comes with some conditions. You're probably going, aha, I knew that there was a catch. Everything that seems to be free has a catch. Well, this catch is something you can deal with. What is the first condition? Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you do not believe in God, you're not getting a ticket. You first have to believe that he is. Why should God give you a ticket to salvation if you don't even believe he exists? And not only that, he's a rewarder of them who do what? Diligently seek him. Over in Acts 2 and 28, we see the next condition. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the other condition. You have to do what? Repent. Repent means you have to change your lifestyle. You cannot continue what you are doing. You have to become Christ-like. Not only that, it says you must be baptized. So you have to go down into watery grave of baptism and come up a new creature in Christ. A third condition. Let us look at John 8 and 31. Then Jesus said to those which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. You have to continue in the faith. Once saved does not mean always saved. Why? Because you can lose or misplace your ticket. We want to talk about, well, how do I go about losing or misplacing my ticket? It all comes down to disobedience. But we're going to look at different types of disobedience. First of all, remember I told you to remember Lot. Lot was leaving the city. The angels had said, you have got to get out. You have got to go. Well, one of the problems that you might have with disobedience is looking back. Looking back into the beckoning elements of this world. That's what happened to Lot's wife. Over in Genesis 19 and 26, she looked back on her former life in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is what happened to her. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Why? Because she had disobeyed what the angels had told her. The angels specifically told her not to do what? Not look back. We as Christians sometimes fall into this trap. We look back onto our former lives and end up going back into the beckoning elements of this world. How do I know? Well, you know, remember a man called Demas over in 2 Timothy 4 and 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. This was Paul. Demas was with Paul, and Paul said he has done what? He has forsaken me and gone back where? To the beckoning elements of this world. Looking back on your former life can suck you back into it. Once you have dedicated yourself to Christ, you must do what? Continue in his word. Well now, unbelief and disrespect can cause you to lose your ticket. A whole generation of Israel lost their ticket. Why? Go with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy 1, 32 through 36. And it says the following. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tent, in the fire by night to show you by what ye shall go in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth, and swear, saying, surely these shall not one of these men of this evil generation see the good land, which I swear to them unto your father, save Caleb. He shall see it, and to him I will give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he wholly followed the Lord. For 40 years the children of the Hebrew children went around in the wilderness until that evil generation had died out. They lost their ticket to salvation. Undue influence that can lead to wrath can have you losing your ticket or misplacing it. This happened to one of the ticket agents. You remember Moses? Over in Deuteronomy 1 and 37. And it said the following, "Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou shalt not go in thither." Moses had disobeyed God because of the undue influence of the children of Israel. They had led him to wrath. And in his wrath, he disobeyed what God had told him. And as his punishment, God told him, "You will not go into the promised land. You'll get to see it, Moses, but you should not walk upon it." How do I know this? Well, in Numbers 28 through 12, God told Moses this, "Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak." Notice what it says, "And speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water." Now, what happened? If you go down further in that chapter, "And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice." He disobeyed what God had told him to do. What did God tell him to do? Speak to the rock. And because of that, Moses was not allowed into the promised land. Now, you might say, well, what's another way I can lose my ticket? Lust of the eye can cause you to lose your ticket. Do you remember a man named David? Let's go over to Acts 13 and 22. "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which has fulfilled all my will." God said David was a man after his what? His own heart. But David slipped and fell. He lost his admission ticket. How did he do it? Well, let's look over at 2 Samuel 11, 2 through 4. "And it came to pass in evening time that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." Now David made his mistake. "And he said and inquired after the woman." Now you might say, well, why is that a mistake? Because God had given David all that he had desired. David had enough wives and children to help Noah fill the ark. But now all of a sudden he saw another one that he wanted, Brother Thompson. He saw another one. And David said and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David, notice what David, "sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him." And what happened? "And he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her house." This is what David made the sin. He just committed the sin of adultery. Now, he was about to go a step further. He was going to murder a man. What do you mean he was going to murder a man? Because Bathsheba came and sent message to David saying that she was with child. Now, since her husband was out fighting a battle, it was not possible for him to be able to do so. So now, all of a sudden, David had a problem. Because he had fathered a child with another man's wife. David had lost his admission ticket right now. Now, you might say, well, what did he do then? Well, he called Uriah back from the battlefield and said, "Why don't you go, you know, you need some rest from your battles. Why don't you go home and relax and be with your wife?" But Uriah was an upright man. And he said he could not do that because his men were out fighting. It would not be right for him to enjoy the comforts of home, and the men that who were under his command were out there putting their lives at risk. So Uriah did not go home. In fact, Uriah slept in front of the king's palace. On the steps, he would not go home. So David couldn't get him to go home, so there was no way David could cover up his fatherhood. Because if Uriah had went home, he could have said, oh, well, Uriah's the father. But he couldn't do that because Uriah did not go home. So he then said, called his commander of the army, and said, send Uriah to where the battle is the hottest. Because he knew Uriah would be killed there. Well, that didn't sit well with God. So God sent Nathan, his prophet, to David to tell him what he had done. But Nathan wanted to get David to convict himself. So Nathan told him a little parable. He told him about a man who had lots of sheep. And visitors came. And instead of going into his own flock, he found the one ewe lamb of a man somewhere else. And he took that ewe lamb and dressed it and prepared it for his visitors. And did not pay the man for the ewe lamb, but just took it. And David was wroth. He said, this man should repay him, and this man should surely die for what he had done. And that's when Nathan sprung it on him. You are that man, O king. And that's what he said. You are that man. And then it hit David what he had done. He could not deny it. But David regained his ticket. And we're going to see how David regains his ticket. But let's talk about a man named Solomon. He fell into bad company. Look over to 1 Kings 11 and 4. And you'll see the kind of bad company that Solomon fell into. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Now, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. As he got older, the wisest man in the world at that time got stupider. In his old age, he allowed his wives to turn him from God. Bad company. If you go over and look in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners. Who you are in association with can reflect on you. People say, well, I'm a Christian, and I don't do what they do. But you associate with the wrong company. And if you associate with the wrong company, people are going to think what? That you agree with what they do. Solomon lost his ticket. Pride and deceit can cause you to lose your ticket. You remember a couple called Ananias and Sapphira. Over in Acts 4:36 through Acts 5:5. Ananias and Sapphira saw a certain person in verse number 36. And Jose, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, Ananias and Sapphira saw that. And they said, well, we can do that. We can do that. We have a piece of land that we can sell, and we can bring the money and lay it at the apostles' feet. And they can then distribute it to the other people. That's a noble task. That's a noble thing to do. But they decided to keep a little bit of it for themselves. if you look, and he kept that, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, just like Barnabas had done. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it. So there was conspiracy going on here. And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now Peter asked him a question. Ananias could have saved himself. Peter asked him this question. Ananias, why has Satan filled your, it says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Now, I'm sure Ananias was surprised at how Peter knew this. But all of a sudden it says, Peter says, while it remained, was it not your own? While it was in your possession, was it not your own? You could have done whatever you wanted with it. And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to who? But to God. Now ask yourself this question. All Ananias had to do was come up to Peter and say, here is a portion. That's all he had to say. Portion of the proceeds from the land we sold. But no, what he told Peter is, here is all of it. He lied to Peter. What happened to him? Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. And Ananias had permanently lost his ticket. Why? Because it is appointed for man to die, and then comes what? The judgment. Once you die, there is nothing you can do to change your situation. So you better do it while you are among the breathing and above the earth. Because once you're below the earth, there's nothing you can do. And nobody can pray you into heaven. Well, how do I recover my ticket if I lost it? Well, we want to talk about something called repentance. Over in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, it says for this, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow. Now, you remember I was telling you about David. Over in 2 Samuel 12 and 13, once he was confronted with his sin, David said the following. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Notice what David did. David repented. Repentance allows you to recover your lost ticket or misplaced ticket. You have to repent. Go over to Revelations 2 and 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou what? Repent. You have to repent. Repentance gives you back your admission ticket. Now, as I bring this lesson to a close, what am I being admitted to? You probably ask yourself that question. Hebrews 9 and 27. And as it is appointed unto men to die, but after this comes what? The judgment. You're going to be judged. Now, you're either going to go be judged with a ticket or without a ticket. With the ticket, over in Revelation 3 and 5, it says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. If you have a ticket, that's your ticket to salvation. If you have continued in the faith, you will have a ticket. And once you get there to the judgment, Christ, the mediator for us, will go before the Father and say, this is a faithful servant. This is one that we need to admit into the kingdom of heaven. What if I don't have a ticket? Well, Revelation 20 and 15 tells me what happens if you don't have a ticket. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into what? The lake of fire. So I'm sorry to say that if you don't have a ticket, you were traveling that broad and wide path to destruction. Now, how do I get this ticket, Brother Burnside? You're probably asking yourself. First thing you have to do is hear. Romans 10 and 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you have to believe. Remember, I have told you, you have to believe that God is. Acts 16, 30 and 31. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So you got to believe. You got to believe that God is. Then you have to repent. We talked about repentance. To become a Christian, you have to repent. Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then you have to confess. Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you have to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Son of the living God. Then you have to be baptized. You got to be baptized. You can go through the first four steps there. But if you don't do the fifth step, the first four steps don't mean anything. The fifth step, be baptized. Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That means you have no ticket. Then you have to continue in the faith. 2 Timothy 3 and 14. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So we have to continue in the faith. As I bring this lesson to a close, now is the time, now is the hour that you can come and become a Christian. If you have been a Christian and you have walked away from God, remember, as I always tell people, if you find yourself a guilty citizen from the Lord, that's removed. And it wasn't God. But now it's time for you to come back and receive the song of invitation.
Hymn number 7. Kevin, let us sing. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail, comforts flee. Yeah.
We now come to part of our service, that is the offering. We'll turn to number 612 as we prepare for the service to come forward. 612.